Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Open our eyes, open our ears. We want to hear from you today, Jesus. That's why we're here. Open our hearts. Teach us. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're doing a series called Power Tools. And what we're referring to there is the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. You thought I'd forgotten. I've been kind of in vacation recovery mode here the last couple weeks, but I haven't forgotten. We're on Power Tools. I'm really loving this series. And today's message, we finished about a four-week stint on the idea of prophecy, which is a really powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. Today's message is going to be on tongues and interpretation of tongues. Okay? So that's what we're covering today. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Reading in the King James Version, it says there, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Everybody say, ignorant. The Lord doesn't want us ignorant. Sometimes there's some ignorance running around in the church when it comes to spiritual gifts. And so this is part of the reason I'm doing this series, to clear up ignorance. Okay? Make it firm. Look down in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So why are the nine gifts here for us, saints? To profit. They're for our good. They're not to scare you. They're not to scare your neighbor that you invite to church. They're to profit. Amen? And they can even profit unbelievers at times. Verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by who? The Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by who? The Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of those tongues. But all these work the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Okay. So I want the phrase, if you haven't underlined it or highlighted it in your Bible, you should underline by the Spirit or by the selfsame Spirit. Okay? Because these gifts are coming by the Spirit. And the reason I'll point that out is because last week and the weeks before we were talking about prophecy, and we defined prophecy as what? Three things. Who can name them? Name one. Throw it out to me. What's
edification.
Edification. Thank you. Building up. What's another one?
Comforting.
And the third? Exhorting. Thank you. Exhorting. Comforting, exhorting, edification. And we said you could do that in the natural. You know, you could look at somebody and say, well, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. You could do that as an attempt to comfort somebody, right? You could encourage them. You could persuade them. Don't be anxious, right? But if you're not speaking by the Holy Spirit, that's not a prophetic word. It's true that you're encouraging or you're exhorting, but you're not speaking necessarily by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We said that this phrase, by the Spirit, by the selfsame Spirit, that's what we're talking about here. When we talk about the nine gifts of the Spirit, in other words, you didn't make this up. It's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your heart. The Holy Spirit is saying, say this, do this, right? So that's what the nine gifts are all about. They're prompted by who? By the Spirit. By the selfsame Spirit. Okay. So we're talking about speaking in tongues. I want to say this. I want to hit a few just basic ideas here right off the bat. Number one, speaking in tongues does not come from our intellect or our mind. And medical studies have proven this. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they've actually seen that there's a part of the brain that lights up. It's not even speech related. When you speak in tongues, it's like it's this part of the brain that they don't know anything about. It's just unknown to them. But when you're speaking in tongues, it's not because your brain's active. In fact, your brain is kind of on neutral. They've proven that when you're speaking in tongues, but it comes from the Spirit. Okay. So when I speak in tongues, I'm talking about my private prayer language right now. But we're teaching on the message in tongues in the congregation. But let me just say this in general: speaking in tongues is not an act of the mind. It's not from your intellect. And this is why it's offensive to your mind. I said it's offensive to the natural mind. Sometimes Terry and I will be talking, and she'll say, "Have you prayed about it? You know, we should really pray in the Spirit about such and such." And sometimes if I've been kind of spiritually lazy, I'll feel this kind of, almost like, okay. Why? Because the mind is carnal. The mind says, I want to do it my way. But the Holy Spirit says, pray in the Spirit. It has nothing to do with your mind. God's revelations are much higher than the intellect of man. And you look historically, people who have been challenged, they've had a difficult time with receiving the baptism of the Spirit, receiving the gift of speaking in tongues. Sometimes the brain gets in the way. The brain wants to sit on the throne. You gotta dethrone him. Okay? The mind and the intellect do not coincide with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit in you, the born-again Spirit in you. That's what we're talking about when we talk about speaking in tongues. It comes from in here. All right. Secondly, I want to say this. It's a vocal miracle. It's a vocal miracle when you speak in tongues. It's a vocal miracle. No one can explain it. I don't know Spanish. I don't know French. I don't know Italian. But I tell you, sometimes I flow when I'm speaking in tongues in the car, in the library, wherever, at work, you know, wherever I'm at. Sometimes it flows almost as if I a known language. And that's just, it's humanly impossible. It's a vocal miracle. I can't make up those many variety of syllables that quick. It's humanly impossible. Okay? It would just be impossible. So it's a vocal miracle. Note this, that in the Old Testament, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon prophets, right? You know, and they would prophesy. The Holy Spirit would come upon even King Saul in one instance, and the Bible said he prophesied. So in the Old Testament, there's this picture of the Holy Spirit coming upon men, and then they would speak, right? They would speak prophetically or speak under that anointing, under that guidance of God. They would speak. In the New Testament, since Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit is what? He's in us. Amen. Say, in me. He's not just upon me. He's in me. So if holy men of God spoke when Holy Spirit came on them in the Old Testament, how much more now that he's in us should we speak? You can turn it on anytime you want. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in the understanding. In other words, his will is involved only to the extent of I'm turning on the switch. Then it doesn't come from the intellect at all. That's the only involvement of the mind in the whole matter is I will do this now. But you have the Holy Spirit in you. Saints, this is a privilege. This is not a scary maybe. It's a, you know, I might give in to it if I want to, if I choose to. No, this is a privilege of every born-again believer in the kingdom that the Holy Spirit is in us. Howard Carter said this. He said, speaking in tongues is a flowing stream that should never dry up. Amen. Howard Carter was a great man of God, used mightily by God. And he said, speaking in tongues is a flowing stream that should never dry up. Are you feeling dry? Release the river. Amen. Feeling dry spiritually? Maybe it's been a while. Let the rivers out. Amen? Speak in tongues. Take some time apart. If you're driving to work, hey, I got an hour commute many days. I got plenty of time to let the rivers flow. Just let it flow. Turn the radio off and let the rivers flow. You'll be refreshed. The Bible says in Isaiah, this is the refreshing. Amen? That God has caused the weary to rest. If you're feeling weary in your body, weary spiritually, what can you do to combat that? Let the rivers flow. Speak in tongues. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Ephesians 5:18 says this, be filled with the Spirit. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And in the Greek, the language of Scripture that's used there, that word be filled, it really means be being. B-E-I-N-G. Are you with me? Being. Be being. I got to speak a little closer to my... Be being filled. It's about a constant feeling. It's not once upon a time I was filled, but are you filled today? Be being filled. See, this is available. It's on tap. We use that phrase, such and such on tap, right? Okay? Come to my house, it's mostly water. Water's on tap, okay? But it's available anytime, okay? Not out of the faucet, usually. We drink the purified stuff. But water's on tap. Listen, the Holy Spirit's on tap to you and I 24/7. Amen. You know, most mornings I wake up, the first words out of my mouth are by the Spirit. Amen. Now, my man may think, oh, me, I got to go to work, or oh, me, this. But many days, it's because when you're asleep, see, when you're sleeping, I'm a firm believer in this, your mind's put to sleep. This busy thing, this hamster wheel, you know, major highway, busy thing we call the mind is put to sleep. When you're coming up out of your sleep, your mind's been asleep all night. Your spirit's been awake. And it's actually in a place of being able to commune with God. And many days I'll wake up this morning. And the first words out of my mouth, I don't speak them out loud sometimes because she's still sleeping. And so I want to wake her up. But the first utterances, the whispers of my mind, I'll come to him. And the Lord will put a word, a phrase in my mouth, and I'll speak it out. Why? I'm starting my day in the Holy Ghost. Not starting my day with my mind. I'm starting in the new creation. Listen, saints, you can live this Christian life from up here, or you can live it from in here. And we're called to live it from in here. Not be led by our mind, our intellect. God is so much higher. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Amen. We're to live higher. You're called to live high. If you're not feeling high, you probably just need to flick the switch. Let the rivers flow a little bit. Let the rivers flow. And the thoughts of God will come up in your spirit. It'll lead you. Where am I? Oh. Speaking in tongues is distinct in the church age. Speaking in tongues is distinct to the church age. Folks, this is an exciting privilege. They never had this before. For like 4,000 years of biblical history, there wasn't such a thing as speaking in tongues. They had every other gift. They had miracles. Elijah raised people from the dead. They had gifts of healings. People received healings in the Old Testament. They had, what else? Discerning spirits. You remember we've shared with you in the teaching here, the story where Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And he saw chariots of fire. His servant saw chariots of fire surrounding the city. That was what? Discerning spirits. His eyes were allowed to be opened so he could actually discern or perceive angels. That's discerning spirits. It was in the Old Testament. But not one person, including Jesus himself, ever spoke in tongues until after the resurrection. Folks, the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Think about it. The day of Pentecost was not a freak accident that happened to the church that was already in existence. It wasn't, oh my gosh, a catastrophe just happened in the upper room. All those people that were starting, they were getting organized, those 120, they were about to form the first church. They've been speaking in tongues today. No, it wasn't that at all. It wasn't a bad accident that happened, like the Holy Ghost showed up and the meeting went weird. No, it was intentional. Those 120 people, God said, it's time, and boom, he poured the Holy Ghost out. What does it speak of? It speaks of this, your sins are forgiven. Because never before the cross could the Holy Spirit live in a human. Why? Because we mess up every day. That's why he could only come upon us for the moment. You ever felt like you lived pretty good for about a moment? That's how they felt in the Old Testament. And that's why the Holy Ghost would come on kings or prophets momentarily, and then he'd leave. Oh, there's sin. Gotta go. Because he's the Holy God. But on the day of Pentecost, the message is Jesus has risen from the dead. Your sins are forgiven, church. And he poured out like a mighty river. He poured out upon the whole church. It was the birth of the church. Saints, we were born into Pentecost. We were born into this experience of speaking in another language. Why? I can't tell you why. But the Bible says God chose the foolishness of man to confound the wise. See, it's rubbish to your brain and to mine. That's why I said sometimes we get a little grumpy. If we have been a little out of tune with the Spirit, we get a little grumpy. When someone says, have you prayed in the Spirit about it? Did the Holy Ghost tell you that? Because why? We're so used to living from up here. And God called the church from day one to live from in here, from this river called the Holy Ghost. And the foolishness of speaking in another language is the wisdom of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. And your brain doesn't like it. And lost people's brain can't wrap their brain around it. It's from God. And it has to do with our tongue. The Bible refers to it as the most unruly member. The most untrainable part of your body is your tongue. And God says, I'll touch that. This is where I'll put my fire. This is where I'll put my mark. The seal that this person has been born again and put in right standing with me, I'll put my mark on their tongue. The most unruly part of them has been touched by heaven. Isn't it glorious? Hallelujah. We were in a meeting a couple weeks ago in Colorado, and a man stood up and gave a prophetic word. He said, in the natural realm, there are volcanoes that are called dead volcanoes. Are you aware of those? Like volcanoes that don't spew the orange stuff anymore? They call them dead volcanoes. And they've been sitting dormant, right? Dead volcanoes, you heard of those? And he said, there's been like a dead volcano in the church. And he said, but it's coming to life again. It's coming to life again. And he said, that dead volcano is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Woo, we're right on track because we were right in the middle of our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I heard that prophetic word. I was so excited. Listen, there's a couple of misconceptions I want to hit real quick, practically speaking, on this gift of tongues and gift of interpretation of tongues. Here's number one, misconceptions. Number one, people don't understand that what Paul's writing about here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, he is writing about there is a difference between public speaking in tongues and private speaking in tongues, okay? There's a public message in tongues, and that's what we're addressing today, this idea of message in tongues with the interpretation that goes with it, versus a prayer language, a devotional tongue that is spoken between you and God. Okay? Let me say that again. There's a public use for tongues where we're speaking to men in a message form. It's a declaration. And then there's a private use. And I've been speaking mostly up until now about your private prayer language that you speak between you and God. The Bible says in the book of Jude, this is how we build up our most holy faith, speaking in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the private prayer language between you and God. But then there's a time, sometimes in the meetings, things will get quiet, and all of a sudden someone burst out with a message in tongues. Okay? It's not that they, you know, had too much caffeine that morning. It's a prompting by the Holy Spirit to give us a message, and then in conjunction with that, we require what? Interpretation. Because most of us don't know Hebanese. Most of us can't speak Hebanese. But we have to have the interpretation that goes with it. And usually the interpretation will just be just this wonderful edifying message that, you know, boosts our faith in that moment. But let me say this. Number one misconception about this message in tongues. People often think not everyone is supposed to speak in tongues. You ever met a believer who believes that? There are churches out there that teach that. In recent years, I've talked to Christians who go to other churches that don't tag themselves as spirit-filled or charismatic-type churches, but they say, we're not opposed to speaking in tongues, we just don't believe every believer has to, or every believer should. Okay, that's a misconception. And here's a verse of Scripture. You're in 1 Corinthians 12, right? Look over in verse 30. This is where they get that notion, because actually we'll begin in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 29. Look at 29. Paul said, are all apostles? What's the answer to that question?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Are all workers of miracles?
No.
Have all the gifts of healings?
No.
Do all speak with tongues?
No.
But do all interpret?
No.
So the answer to these questions is no, 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 no. And so people will take that verse, they'll twist it, turn it. Even Peter said that people do this with Paul's writings, and it's true in modern times. They'll turn Paul's writings like that verse that says, do all speak in tongues? And in the midst of that context, the answer is no, 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 no. And so they use that to teach that all believers don't have to speak in tongues. And actually, what Paul's referring to here is a message in tongues. Do all give a public message in tongues? And the answer is no. And the reason we know that he's referring to public is because the next question says, do all interpret? Okay? So the context is a message in tongues, not your private devotional prayer life. Are you with me?
Yes.
Should every believer have a private ability to speak in tongues to their Heavenly Father?
Yes.
Do all speak in tongues publicly?
No.
Because this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the nine gifts, the gift of a message in tongues, accompanied by what? Interpretation of tongues, so that we can all understand what was being said and be edified, right? That's the goal, to be edified. And Paul makes it very clear. In fact, in another verse we'll get to probably later. How much later we got? I'm just kidding. We'll get to, if we don't, I'll just tell you right now. He said, the man who prophesies is better than the man who speaks in tongues unless there's an interpretation. In other words, prophecy is like a dime, and tongues and interpretation are like two nickels. Do two nickels equal a dime? They equal the same amount. But if you only have one of the nickels, the dime's greater, right? Why? Because we can understand a prophetic word. If I stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and I'm speaking in English, and most of us here speak in English, and I speak it in a known tongue, and I give a prophetic word, then you're all edified. But if I get up here and I give a message in tongues and there's no interpretation, I've just given you a nickel. The dime's greater. You with me? All right. So, misconception number one, not everybody's supposed to speak in tongues. Listen, the pattern in the book of Acts is really clear. And we believe that this is our pattern for believers' fellowship here at our church. We want every one of you that come in here to be saved, to be water baptized, and to speak in tongues, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not that we're hung up on the tongues, but the experience is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want you to be baptized in water. We had a baptismal service a couple weeks ago. Great time in the Lord. And then we want you to be baptized or immersed in, soaked in, drenched in the Holy Spirit to the degree that you overflow with speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Or speaking in other languages. That word tongues just means languages besides English, besides your known tongue. Okay? So that's the pattern in the book of Acts, and we believe in it. I mean, that's our stance around here. Misconception number two. Speaking in tongues should not be done out loud in church. Speaking in tongues should not be done out loud in church. Okay? Now, let me say this. There's a verse of Scripture. We're going to look at it here. You're in chapter 12. Flip over to chapter 14, verse 27. Chapter 14, verse 27. Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Again, you could read that verse, not understanding that Paul is talking about what? He's talking about a message in tongues delivered publicly to the audience, to the congregation. He said, if there's no interpretation, let him keep silent and speak to him and to God. Okay? Now, listen, in church, there's times in the service, we may be in prayer, we may have a prayer ministry going on here at the altar. I may out loud, personally, while I'm praying over people, speak in tongues. I may pray in the Spirit before I pray in English, because Paul said in another place, I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray in the understanding. So, misconception number two is that people will read this verse and they say, oh, see, it says right there, let him keep silent in the church if there's no interpretation. That's regarding a message in tongues. Are you with me? It's not regarding devotional prayer language. Okay? There may be times in services where we say, hey, let's all pray together in the Spirit. And the whole room lights up. Listen, in Korea, they have, if you can Google this, you can YouTube it yourself. And there are churches over there that have like literally hundreds of thousands of people in them. Huge. The biggest church on earth right now, I believe, is in Korea, unless it's been surpassed by someone else. At one point, I think they had close to 1 million people part of that church, South Korea. And you can find on YouTube, you can see these meetings where, I mean, just thousands, just a sea of these beautiful Korean people. And they'll say, this is the time to pray. And they'll ring a bell. And I mean, the whole place lights up. It's like a choir, but instead of singing in their known tongue, they're praying in tongues. And they may do that for 10, 20, 30 minutes. I don't know how long it goes on. Maybe Nadine knows. I don't know. But they'll like a choir, they light up in the Spirit. Amen. Out loud. In church. Why? Because Paul is speaking here of a message in tongues that has to be interpreted. Prayer language doesn't have to be interpreted. Are you with me?
Yes.
Very simply, there's two types. Speaking in tongues publicly as a message to the people. Speaking in tongues as a prayer language to God. And we can do that as a choir if we decide to. I don't always do that, especially on a Sunday morning. We might have guests, and I may or may not feel led to do that. But Paul's referring here to a public message. The interpretation is required when you're speaking publicly. All right? Look at verse 2 of chapter 14. Look what Paul says about speaking in tongues. This is really, really fascinating. This ought to light you up to do it. In the King James, 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. 2.5 years ago, it was a mystery as to where we should go next for our building. We were in La Quinta Hotel, meeting room that could somewhat comfortably hold 25 people, and then it got a little crowded feeling. And we said, Lord, we need a place to go. So what do we do? On Wednesday nights, or Tuesday nights, actually back then, we had a prayer and a meeting, and then we combined it later with our Wednesday night service. But we would pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Why? Because when you pray in the Spirit, you are speaking mysteries. Folks, these are divine secrets. These are divine secrets from God. And you and I can't comprehend it in our mind. It's greater than our intellect. We need the mind of the Spirit. We need to tap into the mysteries of God. Church cannot be properly done by intellect. We need the power of God. Amen? We need the mysteries of God to be happening around here. I don't want to come together. Listen, if I was going to join a social club, I'd just go join a social club. I mean, you're a great bunch. But when I come together with you, I want the Holy Ghost to move. I want the mysteries of God to be expressed. I want the power of God to be released. I want people to walk out of here healed. I want people to walk out of here with their minds changed. Why? That comes from the power and the mystery of God released into us by the Holy Ghost. And Paul said here, when you speak in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you are speaking the mysteries of God. Amen? We're all about the power of God being released around here. So listen, let me sum it up by saying this. There's an order and a purpose. There's a time to pray, and we pray in the Spirit. Paul said in another place here in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray. Well, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 14. I want you to see it with your eyes. Okay, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? It's kind of like manna. Remember what manna meant? What is it? What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Listen, if you will, what's the word? Preface your prayers in the Spirit. You'll know what to pray in English. If you'll preface your singing in the Spirit, you'll know what to sing in English. In other words, Paul puts the Spirit ahead of the known language, right? He puts the Spirit first. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. so that I'll know how to pray in my understanding. Are you with me? I'll sing in the Spirit so that I'll know what God's up to and I'll know what I should be singing about. You with me? The Holy Ghost knows. Say that with me. He knows.
He knows.
The Holy Ghost knows. Church shouldn't be guesswork. The Christian life shouldn't be guesswork. Shame on us when we say, well, I think. No, we're not called to think. We're called to know. You're called to know. I'm called to know. We're people of the know. K-N-O-W. We're supposed to know. And if you don't know, what's the time to do? Pray some more. Pray in the Spirit. And then you'll know in the understanding what you should do. Are you with me? It's a message for another time. We're people of the know. Listen, let me have you read a verse in Acts chapter 5. I love this. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. The church was just starting. And as I said, it was born in the midst of Pentecost. It wasn't a catastrophe that happened upon them while they were trying to get going. It was their heritage. It was their identity. It was their experience in the power of God on the day of Pentecost. And look what it says in Acts chapter 5. Again, we're very early in church history here. Verse 12, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded. I love that. No one else dared to even join them. What is that saying? People were spooked by them. Listen, saints, sometimes we get worried that, hey, if we speak in tongues out loud in church, people may not come. Or if people do come that are guests or unbelievers, we might freak them out. Listen, they're already freaked out. They're already scared. The scripture says here, no one else dared to join them. They saw that God was on the church and they were spooked by it. These are Jewish people. These are religious people. No one else dared to join them. But look what it goes on to say. I love this too. This almost seems contradictory, but it says they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. I love that. It's amazing that people will get saved even though they're spooked by the supernatural. Did you know that happens all the time?
Amen.
I've heard countless testimonies in my life in the Lord of people who said, the first time I went to this such and such meeting, I was scared to death. And I told myself I'll never come back. And what did they do? The next night they came back. Why? Because people are drawn by the Lord. And the Bible says here, the church grew because the Lord added to their numbers. In other words, God says, you don't have any choice in the matter. You're called by me. And God just drew them back supernaturally. They came back on their own, even though they were spooked the first time they got around the moving of the Holy Spirit in the church. They came back. Why? Because God drew them. Jesus drew them. And that's how he builds his church, by drawing people. So when it's time to pray, we're going to pray. When it's time to edify, we're going to speak. Amen? We believe in this gift called the message of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I'm going to wrap this up. Here we go. My experience personally has been this, and I haven't been used by the Holy Spirit in this gift a whole lot, but in the last year and a half, 2 years, probably since we've been here in Nolan Ryan, more than I ever have in my Christian life. And my experience has been this, that when the meeting gets to a certain point, sometimes it'll get quiet, and we know that the Holy Ghost is moving, we know that God wants to speak, and all of a sudden I'll feel just this, I mean, it's like God's tapping me on the shoulder, like, speak. And it's like this, I can feel, it's like tongues coming out of me, but it's different. Are you with me? It's not my normal prayer language. I mean, I have a prayer language I'm comfortable in that I'm used to as I pray in tongues. I'm used to it. I'm comfortable with it. In many words, I repeat. Have you found that? That, you know, many times as you're speaking in tongues, certain words will roll back around again. You think, oh, there's that word again. Listen, that's your language. That's your unique language. Don't despise it.
Amen.
Don't look down on it. It's just something your spirit's comfortable saying because God's giving you that dialect, if you will. But I've noticed that when the Holy Spirit taps me to give a message in tongues, it's a different dialect, if you will, than I've ever spoken before. And that's why I know it's a message for the people for that moment. And I'll go ahead and speak it on out. And sometimes he's given me the interpretation, and other times here in church, he's given someone else the interpretation. There has to be an interpretation so we can be edified. Amen? And if we fall on our face and no one, you know, maybe someone sits on it and they're scared to interpret, and we go through a meeting and we don't get the interpretation, hey, what do? We pick ourselves up, we try it again next week. Amen? This is a laboratory. It's not like a test you pass or fail. This is a laboratory. Church is an experience that we're all learning and growing in. Amen? So don't be afraid to try. And if the Lord taps you on the shoulder one Sunday and you feel like he's giving you a message in tongues, you're free to speak it on out. we'll, you know, if the service is coming to that culmination point and it's time for us to hear from the Lord and it's time for you to give it, then give it. And God will give us the interpretation. Now, let me say this too about a misunderstanding about this whole concept. Sometimes people think it should be a word-for-word translation. It doesn't say that. It says the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, which is simply a showing forth of the meaning of the word. Okay? So sometimes the message in tongues may be this long and the interpretation may be this long. Half as much. Because,
yes.
You know, in the natural, some languages here on earth, I'll use German as an example, they got some awfully long words. Wolfenstatten, Heidengluten, you know, I mean, just like this long word to say howdy, or, you know, it's just... So some languages, the message may be this long, but the interpretation is this long, right? In our known tongue. And so it's that way in the Spirit as well. Sometimes the message in tongues may be 30 seconds, and the interpretation may be 5 seconds, 10 seconds. It's showing the meaning of what was said, not the word-for-word translation. Are you with me?
Yes.
Got it? Got it. All right. I'm going to end with this verse, John chapter 16 and Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to flip to those two passages. John chapter 16. John 16, verse 12. The prophet Isaiah said this. He said, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. This is Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, if you're taking notes. Isaiah 12, 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. What happens when we pray in the Spirit, when we speak in tongues privately, and when we speak in tongues out loud as a public message? We are drawing from the well of salvation, that deep, deep well. Paul describes it like, well, the writer of Hebrews describes it like this. Such a great salvation. It's so great we can't express it in English. We must express it in words that the Holy Spirit gives, and then sometimes there's an interpretation required to understand how deep this well is, how great this salvation is. And he says here in John chapter 16, verse 12, this is Jesus talking. He says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's the future. Verse 14, I love this. Underline it, highlight it, paint it. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Listen, saints, when you speak in tongues, here's what you're doing. It's like the woman at the well. She said, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. You don't have a bucket. When you and I speak in tongues privately in your private prayer language and you're driving to work or you whatever, best use of your time is speaking in tongues, saints. The days are evil. We got to get this show over with and go see Jesus. So speak in tongues every chance you get. And it says here, Jesus said here, the Holy Spirit is like drawing water from a deep well. He will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And then what did he say in verse 15? How much is Jesus's? All. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And the Holy Spirit, when you and I tap him, he makes known what it belongs to us. And how much is it? It's all. It's all. Look at Hebrews 1. I love that. He will make known to you what is the Father's and what is Jesus's and is yours. Hebrews chapter 1. Landing gear down. Would you please fasten your seatbelts? We're about to land this plane. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us how? By his Son, whom he appointed what? Heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. Since Jesus obeyed the Father and went to the cross, and was resurrected, the Bible refers to him as now the heir of all things. He said, well, Scott, the planet looks like it's in bad hands. It's in evil hands. All the rich, billionaire, evil, dark forces are running this planet. And, you know, the political powers and Satan himself. Yes, that's what we see with our eyes. But since Jesus was obedient to the Father unto death, he has been made the heir of all things. Where will everything go one day? To Jesus. It's all going to go to him. The whole earth is his. Amen? We don't see it with our eyes yet. It hasn't manifested. It still looks like it's in the hands of the bad guys, the evil powers. But it's his. He has been appointed the heir of all things. And you are his child. And he's not ashamed to call you brother. You think, well, I own such and such house, such and such property, such and such street. That's mine. I get it. I have my car. I got a title deed to my car. No! You've been given so much more. The earth is the Lord's. And who is the Lord of the earth? Jesus. He's the heir of all things. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will make known to you what has been given to me. Because all that the Father has been given to me. And he says, I'll make it known to you as well. What is yours? He'll make known to you what is yours. Did you know you have an inheritance beyond what you have in the natural?
Amen.
Don't look at your current situation and say, well, I just own this, or I rent a house, or I rent this apartment, or, you know, yeah, I got my car paid off, so I own a car. No. You're a child of God.
Yes.
And Jesus is the heir of all things.
Amen.
And you are his. And he says, the Holy Spirit, once you get born again, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to make known to you all that is yours in the Father. It's greater. It's greater than what we've understood. And how do we get to know it? Pray in the Spirit. Speak in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will release to you the mysteries. Here's what my personal experience has been. And no one taught me this from the pulpit. I didn't hear this in a sermon, but I'm telling you today. This is fresh inside information, okay? My experience has been that if I pray in the Spirit a lot in the early part of the day, by the time I'm driving home from work that night, revelations will just pour it into my mind. Revelations and understanding. Things I never understood from Scripture. Bunny, just these deep thoughts. And I'll come and she has to listen to them all. I said, God, listen to what God showed me today. Why? Because we're drawing from the wells of salvation. When we pray in the Spirit, when you speak, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, when you pray in the Spirit, when you speak in the Spirit, you're speaking the very mysteries of God.
Yes.
And at the time, you don't understand it. You don't even know what you're saying. But the interpretation will come.
Amen.
It's almost like the guy who stands up in church and gives the message in tongues and the interpretation. You can have that experience every day of your life, drawing from the wells of salvation, drawing from the Holy Ghost. And the interpretation will come up in your spirit. Revelation will come up in your spirit. Understanding will come. Understanding will come. Praise the Lord. We had a good friend. This is an example of the mysteries of God happening centered around this thing we're talking about speaking in tongues, this phenomenon. And if you're here today and you haven't yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll make some time after the service and pray for you if you want to be prayed for to receive this. Because this is a gift for every believer. Amen? You need to have the rivers released in you. I'm telling you, it's the life of your spiritual walk. We had a friend who was in a meeting. And she was praying for a lady at the altar, and the lady fell down under the power of the Holy Spirit. We call that being slain in the Spirit. It's one of our Christianese. Okay? Lady fell down, fell back under the power of God, fell to the floor. And the woman who was praying for her stood back, and she said she uttered something in tongues. She said she knew it wasn't her normal prayer language, her normal, you know, everyday kind of speaking in tongues language. But she uttered these words, and it came out like German. She didn't know it at the time. She said it sounded like a, you know, another language, like a human, like an earthly language. She didn't know, have any idea what she was speaking. And she said it three times. She said this, whatever this phrase was, in a language. And she said it felt at the time she knew something different was coming up on her in the Holy Ghost. And a man in the meeting, after the meeting, came up to her and said, I didn't know you spoke fluent German. She goes, well, I don't. And he said, well, when you spoke that, he said, what you said was, she will jump, she will jump, she will jump. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
And when she finished saying those phrases over this lady who was laid out on the floor, the lady jumped up and started jumping for joy. And Lord, she got set free, but obviously about something in her life. She got free, and she's just jumping for joy. She will jump, she will jump, she will jump. Well, after the meeting, when this lady minister and this guy that heard her speak in German, say this in German, as they were conversing about it, a man nearby overheard the conversation. He wasn't a believer. He got saved on the spot. Accepted Jesus on the spot.
Amen.
Why? Because the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, it draws people to God. It is for the profiting of all. Amen?
Amen?
And so sometimes we flow in this mystery of the Holy Ghost. We don't even understand what's going on. But people get blessed. The lady got set free in her life. The man got saved. And the guy in the back of the room that understood German got blessed as well. Because he realized this lady that was ministering didn't know German, and yet by the Spirit she spoke. Sometimes the language will be in a human language. And you'll have that in your life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Stand together with me. Well, all this, you know, the Holy Spirit is really good at putting puzzle pieces together. And, you know, I guess about 2.5 months ago, I got on this track of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. At that time, we had not confirmed the meeting coming up with Brother Joe Corey. But he's coming, for sure. Hallelujah. He'll be here next week. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just knew in advance. And he's had me teaching on these gifts of the Spirit all these weeks to get you ready. So nothing's going to scare you.
Yes.
Nothing's going to throw you. Nothing's going to be beyond you. In fact, you're very qualified Bible school students now at this point with all this talk we've had on the 9 gifts of the Spirit. You understand it more than most Christians, honestly, but what you've come to understand here in the last past weeks. But I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you and readiness. I want to ask you to do this with me this week. I want to ask you to take some time out personally, those of you that are going to be here next Sunday, and take some time out and fast and pray. Why do I say fast? Because I want you skinnier? No. It's good for the health. But, you know, when you fast a meal, I'm not asking you to fast days, but fast a meal here or there and spend some time privately with the Lord and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I need to hear your voice. How many of you need to hear God's voice in your life? You need a fresh revelation. Maybe you need some direction in your life. You need the Lord to just illuminate. You know, you've had some questions in your life for months or years, and you need some illumination. I'm telling you, it's going to come. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, with these gifts flowing next weekend, it's going to be powerful. But I want to ask you to take some time out, pray. If you can join us Monday through Friday this week, we're adding this intense prayer because we want God to move. We want God to rock our lives. Amen? We want God to rock our community and the cities around. Amen? Not just out, but everywhere. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence here today. Jesus, thank you for bringing us into such a great and awesome kingdom. And making known to us by the Holy Spirit what you've given us. You have become the heir of all things, Jesus. That's who you are. And now you have called us your brothers and sisters. And we are joint heirs, the Bible says. Joint heirs with you of all things. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing revelation, understanding to us. We thank you for this life called the Spirit-filled life that is ours, our inheritance by right. Thank you, Jesus, for purchasing it for us. You said, as many as are led by the Son, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Thank you for leading us, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for the Spirit-filled life. We thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you say, I'm not a Christian. I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. With our heads bowed for just another moment. If that's you today, you say, Scott, I need to give my life to Jesus afresh. I've never been born again. I want to be saved. I want to have my sins forgiven. Just raise your hand right where you're at. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to humiliate you in any way. But we're going to pray a prayer out loud in just a moment in which you can give your heart to Jesus. If there's anybody here like that. Or you say, Scott, I'm coming back to the Lord. I've been away from Jesus, but here I am in church today, and I want to come back and surrender my life afresh to Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you're at. Let me see it. Anybody at all? Okay? All right? Or if you're here today and you say, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to have this release of the prayer language from heaven. The release of heavenese, if you will. The language of heaven that Jesus offers. If you want to experience that today, I want to ask you to come forward after the service. I'm going to take a few moments and pray for you. You're going to get filled. You're going to receive it in the Lord's presence here today. Father, we thank you that you bless us as we go. You bless our families. I thank you for the increase that's coming on us. As Believers Fellowship, Lord, I thank you that you're causing increase to just abound toward us, Father, in every area, revelation and understanding, and that with joy we will draw water from the wells of your salvation this week in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.